Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is underway. I am the man behind the mic, the captain of this ship, your host of WKAR's current sports, Al Martin, coming to you on this hump day. That's right. It is September 19th, 2018. Can you believe the end of the month is almost near and we will be staring at October? Unreal, right? I tell you what, time is absolutely flying by. However you may be listening, we truly appreciate it here at WKAR's current sports, whether you're listening courtesy of WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, or you may be tuned in social media-wise right now at Facebook.com/WKAR News. What's up, Ben? What's up, John? You guys are already weighing in at the top of the hour. I love it. Or you may be listening to the podcast version of the show courtesy of WKAR.org. However you are tuned in, thank you. All right. And this week here at WKAR is a special one because today actually kicks off our fundraising. That's right. If you are a fan of what we do here at WKAR, you tune in on the regular and you love what you hear, please support us. Right now, it's pretty crazy here inside of the WKAR radio studios as we have many volunteers and, you know, shout out to the news and also the classical music team right now on air pitching to you all. It's our WKAR fall fundraiser. And, you know, if you love what we do here, folks, we can't do what we do without you. All right. When it comes to our fundraising here and our funds period here at WKAR, around 60% come courtesy of donations, listener donations, all right? So multiple ways in which you can give. You can go to our website at WKAR.org and click the Give Now button. You can also call in at 855-724-9344. And, I mean, folks, it could be as little as 10 bucks a month, all right? Little as 10 bucks a month. You probably spend more than that on your daily coffee throughout the week, all right? And also, WKAR is making it easy to show off your inner nerd with our Public Radio Nerd mug. Your gift when you become a sustainer at 15 bucks a month, a fun way to show your love for WKAR and public radio. It has the Public Radio Nerd logo on one side and the WKAR logo on the other. Big enough for a serious coffee drinker like me, or tea drinker for those who don't rock with coffee, right? It's microwave and dishwasher safe. Again, the Public Radio Nerd mug can be yours as a thank you gift when you become a sustainer for 15 bucks a month. And don't forget, when you make your gift at 855-724-9344 or give now at WKAR.org, you will be entered to win tickets to see the Tony Award-winning production, Fiddler on the Roof, at the Wharton Center. Your prize package includes tickets, a spotlight dinner with special guests, and get this, we'll even pay for your lodging. We are going to hook you up. Again, be entered to win by calling 855-724-9344. Or again, for you technologically savvy folks out there, just give now at WKAR.org. All right, a lot to get to on today's current sports. As I like to say, our plate runneth over a lot. I want to get to. All right. We'll talk about the New England Patriots getting Josh Gordon. Also, Antonio Brown not showing up to work for the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier this week. We will have an NPR interview courtesy of Scott Simon, who brings to you a chat with Rick Pitino as he has a new book entitled My Story. Really interesting on a lot of levels. You do not want to miss this chat. There are a few points I want to make when it comes to what Pitino has to say in relation to the scandal that occurred at Louisville, that national championship that he won not too long ago, beating the University of Michigan, is no longer on the books, at least. He's got some interesting points to make, all right? And I want to clear some things up when it comes to recruiting in college sports. You don't want to miss that chat, and we'll also talk about the Detroit Tigers as that season comes to a close, thank goodness, right? Rebuild year in full effect for the old English D. And Richard will also talk some Michigan State college football with us as, of course, your Spartans get ready to hit the road and take on Indiana after a week three bye. Three straight weeks now that Michigan State will be playing under the lights. We'll be doing all of that while, of course, getting your thoughts on it. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. We have the live stream up and running there. You can comment below that video, and you can tweet us. Tweet the show at Al Martin. That's my personal Twitter page. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or you can tweet me personally at Al Martin WKAR. And before I push forward right now, we have two outstanding young men also accompanying me here in Studio West. And in the next few days and throughout these next few months, I should say, we'll be welcoming a few new voices here to WKAR's current sports because, as many of you know, we work closely with the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences here at WKAR. And for, I believe now, the fourth straight year, we've partnered with Professor Joanne Gerstner and the Journalism 418 Sports Reporting class. And, you know, we work with Joanne with students who become production assistants for us, and also reporters who cover real beats. They're out there in the field talking with the community and bringing you sports coverage that you can't get anywhere else. All right. So in the next few days, you will be hearing new voices on the show. And I want to start with two outstanding young men by the name of Adam Mackey and Trevor Tasklosky. Hopefully I nailed that last name. We talked for a minute before we got on the air, and I'm like, dude, this name is just going to throw me for a loop here on the air. I think I nailed it. Trevor and Adam, how you guys doing? And Trevor, did I nail it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. not bad. Not bad for a first try, especially on air.
Right. I had to take a beat before I said it. I'm like, okay, hold on. Let me stare. Okay, now pronounce it. All right. Trevor, Adam, how you doing, my man?
Good. How about you?
Great stuff. I want to start by you guys introducing yourself. You know, tell us where you're from, what year you are here at Michigan State University, and what you will be covering throughout the semester. What kind of coverage will you be bringing to the fold here at WKAR? I'll start with Trevor.
All right. I'm a fifth-year senior. You know, it doesn't always take 4 years. That's all right, guys. If you're listening, you're like, man, school's not going fast enough for me. 5 years is okay.
Trust me, Trevor. And you don't want to get out here, all right? I miss college, all right? Soak it up, man. Who cares about being a fifth year, brother? Soak it up.
Yeah. So originally from Grand Rapids, I'm going to be covering esports for WKAR. I know a lot of you guys listening possibly on the radio are not as familiar with esports as, you know, Al might be, or me and Adam. First thing I'm going to look at is our League of Legends, which is a game run by a company called Riot Games based out of Los Angeles. One of the most popular esports. Each year they play regional professional leagues in North America, Europe, Asia, and they also have a world championship, which will be coming up here shortly. They will be taking place in Korea this year, which is the kind of hub of League of Legends. So I'm going to be looking at that here on campus. We have a League of Legends club that actually partnered with Big Ten Network last year. Now Big Ten Network puts on a full Big Ten season like you would get for football or basketball for League of Legends. All 14 schools in the conference have teams that match up each week. So I'm going to be talking to the guys on the Michigan State team and kind of giving you guys a look at what League of Legends is, as well as what it looks like on our campus as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome stuff. Again, esports. If you don't know what esports are, just kind of clarify it, Trevor.
Esports are video games, essentially what people would say, but people are playing these video games at a professional level. They're making a living off of playing these video games, right? Not just like me and Al playing in the basement shooting some Madden and whatever.
Like I was doing last night. Yeah.
These guys make a living and they play at the very top tier of these games.
Awesome stuff. Trevor, thank you so much. And Adam, what will you be covering for us? And give us a little bit about your background, I should say.
All right. First, I'm actually from East Lansing, Michigan. My house is just 2 miles away. So
how about that? A local kid.
Yeah. So I've grown up here my whole life, and this is a place I've always wanted to be. So it's about me, but my beat, I'm Lansing Catholic High School. And my first story is about boys tennis there at Lansing Catholic. They have not been relevant in the last 10 years or so with teams like Okemos in the area. Okemos won 6 of the 8 division titles last year, singles titles. Mm-hmm. Lansing Catholic just hired a new coach, Matt Goldzinski, I think. He's a first-year head coach who's also a social studies teacher at the school. So I talked to him on Friday at practice, and I talked to a few of their senior leaders. So my first story is kind of talking about their resurgence and trying to see if they can compete with Okemos and some of those other teams in the area. So.
That's absolutely awesome. And I'm sure you have a personal connection with you. You being from this area, yeah. Adam. I mean, Lansing Catholic has had great sports for quite some time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Their football team, I looked into it actually this year, not just this year, but previous years, they've been top-notch in the area. This year, I think they're 4-0 currently to start. Mm-hmm. Their second game of the season, they beat Grand Rapids West Catholic, who is defending Division V state champion. So their coach, Jim Ahern,
Jim Ahern,
he's the head coach. He's done very well there, and he's been there for quite a while. So
without a doubt. I remember when I was an intern starting off at Channel 6 News, back when I was a student here at Michigan State University, I remember covering Cooper Rush, mm-hmm. who is now the backup quarterback to my Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, and Matt Maksud, who had a brief stint with the Michigan State football team. Mm-hmm. They were like must-see TV every night when watching the highlights from around the area on a respective Friday night on the football field. They were awesome, and Jim Ahern has built something really, really special. And his coaching tree includes the likes of a coach like Terry Hesbrook of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets, and we all know how good the Ithaca Yellow Jackets are each and every year. All right, Adam, Trevor, thank you so much. Outstanding stuff. Looking forward to having you guys on throughout the semester, all right?
Appreciate it, Al.
All right, let's hit you now with our current sports quick hit headliners. We start with some Michigan State athletics news. Just one game taking place yesterday. The Michigan State field hockey team snapped its 2-game losing streak yesterday, defeating Central Michigan by a score of 2-1 at CMU Field Hockey Complex. Now, with the win, MSU improves to 4-5 on the season. The Spartans have 2 non-conference matchups remaining this year, with dates at Louisville on my birthday, October 7th, and Miami of Ohio on October 21st. Central Michigan fell to 1-9 on the season with that loss to the Spartans. It all started earlier this week when CBS Sports published the Michigan State version of its Who's Next series, focusing on who will replace the active Hall of Fame coaches in the world of college basketball. Now, in predicting who might replace Tom Izzo one day, CBS produced a list of 5 names with connections to Izzo and the program. Current assistant coach, Dane Fife. Georgia coach Tim Crean, formerly of Indiana as well, and formerly of Michigan State. He was an assistant coach here at Michigan State, next to Tom Izzo, actually. South Florida coach Brian Gregory, George Washington coach Mo Joseph, and Northern Illinois coach Mark Montgomery. Now, the list has some potential succession candidates, to be sure. but also has one very notable omission, that being Dwayne Stevens, the Spartans' current associate head coach. The former Michigan State player is entering his 16th year on Izzo staff and previously coached at Marquette and Oakland, giving him a resume that would undoubtedly make him a candidate for the head coaching job. That list eventually found its way to former Michigan State basketball star, now of the Golden State Warriors in the NBA, Draymond Green, who is not too happy with the exclusion of Stevens. Here's a tweet from Green discussing that very story. Quote, Dwayne Stevens is the top candidate when Izzo steps down and should be named successor, period. I am perplexed as to why he isn't named in this article. Ridiculous, followed by three exclamation marks. So I feel you, Draymond. I'm shocked that Dwayne Stevens' name was not included in that piece. All right, Michigan football landed a huge piece to its 2019 recruiting class yesterday when ESPN 300 athlete Daxton Hill announced his commitment to the Wolverines. Hill is the number 14 ranked prospect overall in the class and is the highest ranked commitment for Michigan since the 2016 class when Rashawn Gary, ranked number one overall, signed with the Wolverines. The Detroit Lions have waived offensive lineman Jamil Demby and released safety Marcus Cromartie from injured reserve. The Lions announced those moves yesterday. Cromartie injured his hip during the Lions' final preseason game. Demby, a rookie who played college football at Maine, was taken in the sixth round of the draft by the LA Rams. He was awarded to the Lions via waivers last week, but he was inactive for Sunday's loss at San Francisco. In a corresponding move, the Lions announced that they have re-signed corner Deshaun Sheed. He had been signed to a one-year, $3.5 million contract back in March and was released at the end of the preseason with Darius Slay injured with a concussion. The Lions were desperate for help in the secondary. The NFL's officiating staff determined Monday officials made the correct call in penalizing Lions safety Quandre Diggs for defensive holding on 49ers tight end George Kittle during Sunday's 30-27 loss. Diggs took exception with what he said was an awful call after the game, and Matt Patricia, head coach, said in a teleconference on Monday he planned to ask the league to review that penalty. According to a new book from ESPN's Ian O'Connor, Bill Belichick's treatment had Tom Brady considering his exit from the team earlier this year. This is what O'Connor wrote. Quote, Tom knows Bill is the best coach in the league, but he's had enough of him. If Tom could, I think he would divorce him. But in the end, even if he wanted to, Brady could not walk away from the game, and he could not ask for a trade. The moment Belichick moved Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco and banked on Brady's oft-stated desire to play at least into his mid-40s was the moment Brady was virtually locked into suiting up next season and beyond. He had retired or requested a trade, he would have risked turning an adoring New England public into an angry mob, end quote. More on O'Connor's book later on this hour. I actually got a chance to read an excerpt courtesy of ESPN.com that profiles the moment when Bill Belichick fell out of love with playing the game of football. Very intriguing story. I'll bring that to you later on this hour. It was the same story for Daniel Norris on last night at Comerica Park. Norris, effective twice through the opponent's batting order, could not pitch his way through the third. The Twins, Minnesota, scored two runs on three hits and a walk in the top of the sixth inning, then attacked on three more against Sandy Baez for a 5-3 win over the Detroit Tigers. Billionaire Dan Gilbert of the Cleveland Cavaliers, owner and driving force in downtown Detroit's revival, is a part of a group that is in the final negotiations to buy the publication Sports Illustrated. That's according to a report from the New York Post. Now, in addition to Sports Illustrated, the group, which reportedly includes Dan Gilbert, the Franklin resident and Michigan State grad, and author and motivational speaker Tony Robbins — I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins — also is looking to buy Fortune and Money magazines from media conglomerate Meredith. Meredith sold Time magazine for $190 million, and the Post reports Meredith is hoping to fetch at least $500 million for all four titles. And lastly, the O's became the first U.S. professional team they claimed to use Braille lettering on their game day uniforms. How about that? During a game yesterday against the Blue Jays at Camden Yards, Braille dots spelled out the word Orioles on the front of the players' jerseys, and the lettering was used to denote their names on the backs. In addition, Braille alphabet cards were handed out to fans at the ballpark. Now, the occasion was the 40th anniversary of the move to Baltimore of the National Federation of the Blind's headquarters. According to an account on the team's website, the O's had initially discussed honoring the NFB on July 26th to mark the 28th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. But when they learned of the upcoming date, they came up with a new and unprecedented approach. That's very cool stuff. What a way to end our current sports quick hit headliners. That does it for your quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing. Again, Bill Belichick, I tell you, he's always grumpy, isn't he? Just all the time. I don't understand how coaches and even some athletes out there are just so rude sometimes to the media. You know, there's a way you can put that, Bill. You didn't have to just, you know, come off as I don't want to be here. But that's Bill Belichick for you. As he was asked about Josh Gordon being a part of the New England Patriots, saying that the deal is not yet finalized. Now, you know, before the show, when we were talking about this, I want to go behind the glass just briefly here. Alec Rio is our engineer of today's show. Alec, you're seeing a report that this deal is now finalized. Where are you seeing that from, courtesy of who?
So it's been told, I've been told that he had been in practice. Jack actually told me that he was in practice.
Jack Kerwin? Okay.
Yeah.
Where'd you see that from? Can we get Jack on? Jack, our residential reporter on the scene, live in New England right now. No, he's right behind the glass. Jack, where'd you see this from?
Adam Schefter tweeted it. Yeah, I just got off the plane back here from
One
Patriot Place. Yeah.
You must have teleported, I tell you what.
Pretty quick.
You are one fast son of a gun, all right? But Bill Belichick, you know, he addressed it without addressing it, saying, look, I'm not going to talk about guys who aren't on the roster just yet. And I'm doing some Googling here. I don't see, but if it's coming from Adam Schefter, it's pretty much finalized.
It has
right?
to be legit.
It's got to be legit. This is Adam Schefter we're talking about. I can't remember one story where Adam Schefter, he swung and missed. All right. So Josh Gordon, that trade has been finalized. I'm actually seeing here, here on Cleveland.com that this is done. So I'm just curious to see how the New England Patriots, who play your Detroit Lions, your winless Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football on NBC. I'm curious to see how the Patriots use Josh Gordon, how prevalent he will be on that New England Patriots roster. Now, the thing about Josh Gordon is, you know, when this story first came out that Josh Gordon was going to be on the market and the Cleveland Browns decided to release him. And by the way, those who watch HBO's Hard Knocks, you get why they released Josh Gordon. You know, he's a freakish athlete. And I think come Sunday, you know, he'll play. And so what if Josh isn't familiar with the playbook? And so what if, you know, he didn't have much reps with the Cleveland Browns and, you know, the drama that occurred out there in Cleveland. Josh Gordon is such a freakish athlete that, I mean, heck, I mean, Tom Brady could draw something up in the huddle and find Josh Gordon for a few yards. I think he's that good and he's that talented. But as you saw on HBO's Hard Knocks, I mean, he comes with some baggage. You know, Josh Gordon has had substance abuse problems. I mean, heck, he wasn't present for much of the HBO Hard Knocks series. You didn't see him in training camp, working out with the team, getting to know his teammates, and showing off his incredible wide receiver skills and those hands of gold because he was in rehab, trying to get his life together, trying to get on track. And you saw head coach Hugh Jackson talking with upper management, you know, when you got those cameras that are high there in high planted in the offices, and you see Hugh talking with, you know, the team owner and assistant coaches about Josh Gordon, saying he's close to coming back, he's doing well. I talked with him this morning, and then, you know, right after a preseason game, or right before a preseason game, I forget who that game was against for the Cleveland Browns, but Hugh Jackson says, yeah, he's on his way. He's good. He's good to go, alluding to Josh Gordon returning with the team. And then after that preseason game, HBO did a really good job of putting in a highlight montage of Josh Gordon showing up to the Cleveland Browns practice facility and warming up. He looked great. Looked great. I mean, the dude has a body chiseled out of stone. Again, he's freakishly athletic. He's got great hands, fantastic speed. The thing is, the only problem with Josh Gordon is that muscle between the ears. Mentally, is he ready to go out there, put all of the off-the-field drama aside, go out there and contribute to an organization? And when I saw that Josh Gordon was rumored to also be talking with my Dallas Cowboys, I said, oh, no. Come on, Jerry. I mean, Jerry Jones is one of those guys who will sell his soul for a talented player, who will sell his soul for a Super Bowl win. I mean, I was against Jerry Jones, adamantly against Jerry Jones, when he signed Greg Hardy, and Greg Hardy was accused of throwing his girlfriend or fiance on a futon of loaded ammunition. Loaded weapons, I should say. I mean, come on now. You sign a guy with that kind of character? But hey, Greg Hardy's a great football player, so that's the Dallas Cowboys way. We want great players playing with our organization. Ridiculous, right? This is coming from a Dallas Cowboys fan, mind you. I always keep it real. So when I heard that they were possibly talking with Josh Gordon, I said, no, we don't need any more off-the-field drama or any more headaches for this team. We just want to focus on wins. Focus on going out there and just playing the game of football. So when he signed with the Patriots, I said, all right, cool. Our hands are washed with it. Good luck to Josh Gordon. And I'm truly rooting for Josh Gordon. I always root for a good comeback story. You know, any athlete who is going through battling demons away from their profession of professional sports. You know, it's one of the reasons why I'm so intrigued with my, you know, one of my favorite athletes in Tiger Woods. I mean, everything that he's gone through and, you know, having that personal drama play out on television and chastised by the nation, now seeming to have his life back on track and trying to make a comeback story in the world of golf. We love a good comeback story. I love a good comeback story, especially when I believe that athlete's comeback and his troubled past is in the past, or at least he's trying to put it in the past and become a better human being, which I think Josh Gordon is trying to do. And what better organization to play for than one that is uber disciplined in Bill Belichick? I mean, Bill Belichick doesn't play that mess. You know, he doesn't play that off-the-field drama mess. You know, any inkling of that, and you will be chastised, you'll be benched, and possibly even traded. So Josh Gordon, I think this is his last shot. If he does not figure it out in New England, he is not going to figure it out anywhere. Now, when it comes to this Detroit Lions game on Sunday night, it spells all kinds of bad news, in my opinion, for the Detroit Lions. The New England Patriots are coming off a loss, and they are ready to get a win. And they're looking at the Lions, who are 0-2, primetime television, Sunday night. Come on. Tom Brady is ready to play right now. But you talk about discipline. Real quick segue here to what's happening out in Pittsburgh. This is nuts, right? We've debated a lot about Matt Patricia possibly losing the locker room already after just 2 weeks with the Detroit Lions. And I think Mike Tomlin, what is going on with Mike Tomlin? I think he may have lost the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are also winless in the preliminary stages of the National Football League regular season. This is what one NFC South assistant coach told the Bleacher Report this week. In light of Antonio Brown not showing up to work and this whole drama with a former Pittsburgh Steelers employee who went on Twitter and popped off and said, "Hey, Antonio." Basically, and again, I'm paraphrasing here. Basically saying that Antonio Brown is a product of the system in Pittsburgh, and he would not be the same player that he is with another team. And Antonio Brown retweeted that comment from Ryan Scarpino, who apparently is, a former employee of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, and said, quote, "Trade me. Let's find out." Then he doesn't show up to work earlier this week. But this is a quote coming from one NFC South assistant coach to the Bleacher Report. Quote, "It's a circus there. And Mike has no control over it. He's one of the best coaches of my generation. But the players have too much control there." Has Mike Tomlin lost the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room? You know, this is something that's been on my mind for a while when it comes to Mike Tomlin, because you see Mike, you know, he's got a great relationship with his players. I mean, you see Mike slapping fives with his players and in the chest bumps. Mike Tomlin is the pure definition of a player's coach. With that being said, though, I mean, at some point, you have to draw the line. And you've got to come off as a serious coach who will not stand for any kind of nonsense that places the player before the team. But now you have the situation with Antonio Brown. You've got the situation with Le'Veon Bell, who is still holding out. Thank you, Le'Veon. My fantasy team thanks you so much for that. But Le'Veon Bell probably won't return until later on this year, week 10. Because he wants to get paid. This is not a good situation right now. It really isn't. And Mike Tomlin has been criticized for being too buddy-buddy with his players for a while. You know, I saw an interview with former linebacker James Harrison after he left Pittsburgh. And he said that Mike Tomlin lacks discipline, so to speak. This is what Harrison told Fox Sports on the show Undisputed. Quote, "Mike Tomlin is a really good head coach." Then he goes on to say, quote, "He's a player's coach. I think he needs to be a little bit more disciplined. The big thing with Bill Belichick is he's very regimented. He's disciplined. Everyone is going to be on the same page. There's not going to be anything as far as someone doing their own thing. I think over there in New England, their whole coaching staff is like that." Harrison added that Tomlin needs to be, quote, "more consistent across the board with everything, from your stars to your special teams players." And then you have Hall of Fame quarterback Terry Bradshaw, who has been, in my opinion, a little bit overly critical of Mike Tomlin. This is what Terry Bradshaw had to say on Fox Sports concerning Mike Tomlin. Quote, "I don't think he's a great coach at all." He goes on to say, quote, to me, he's really a great cheerleader guy. I don't know what he does, but I don't think he's a great coach at all. His name never even pops in my head when I think about great coaches in the NFL. Terry Bradshaw, tell us how you really feel. You know, other head coach. Then Terry goes on to say and allude to, you know, how other head coaches and assistants have quietly whispered what Terry Bradshaw said aloud. I think that's a bit overly harsh. I mean, this is a man who has won a Super Bowl. He's got a ring. And throughout his tenure as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, this is a guy who's never had a below 500 record. He'll go down as a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. So for Terry Bradshaw, I don't know what that's all about. I don't know. He's salty about something that goes beyond the X's and O's. But I do believe that, you know, Mike Tomlin has allowed this to fester and this kind of culture to fester. I mean, heck, do you remember Antonio Brown when he live streamed a team meeting? I mean, come on now. Live streamed a team meeting. Who does that? That shows a lack of respect for your head coach. It's a slap right in the face. And not showing up to a team meeting earlier this week that Mike Tomlin set up is also a direct slap in the face. Now, there's conflicting reports here because I'm also seeing that, you know, later on this week, Adam Schefter actually, I mean, Schefter's everywhere. Does this dude have a life? I mean, Adam Schefter, gosh, he's such a good reporter who has sources everywhere. This is what Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, had to say to Adam Schefter in regards to Antonio Brown not showing up to a team meeting earlier this week. Quote, Antonio had a personal matter. I talked to the team about it. His issue was unrelated to the tweet or his relationship with the team. Third, Antonio Brown has an incredible drive to win. He just wants to win. That's all that is, end quote. So what's going on here? I don't know, because Mike Tomlin also was asked about it, and he didn't bring up anything about Antonio Brown having a personal issue. If that was the case, it would have been really easy for Mike to say, look, the reason why Antonio Brown didn't show up to that meeting is because he had a personal issue. Then everything would have been squashed, and hey, we move on. Life goes on. But that did not happen. So there are conflicting reports here. Everybody's not on the same page. I think at the end of the day, AB will still be suiting up for the Pittsburgh Steelers throughout the season, but this is not a good sign for an 0-2 team led by a pretty decorated coach in Mike Tomlin. We'll see what happens here. And, you know, this whole Le'Veon Bell holdout as well, just more negative press riddling this Pittsburgh Steelers organization. Has Mike Tomlin lost the locker room? I don't know. I think it's too early to call that. Let's talk midway through the year, and then I can make a hard assumption on that. But I will say, this does not look good. Same opinion I have about Matt Patricia in that conversation, about him losing the locker room. I mean, reports about your own players saying, oh, you're overworking us, and we don't like the new rule changes you have. And then on the fact that you're 0-2, that's not a good look. Not a good look whatsoever. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In just a moment, we will have Richard Kincaid on the show, Detroit sports broadcaster, to put a bow on the Detroit Tigers regular season. And we'll also try to bring to you this NPR chat with Rick Pitino, the controversial former head coach of the college basketball world for the University of Louisville. I have in studio really briefly here before we hit our first break, Jack Kerwin, that has some thoughts, I would imagine, on this whole Antonio Brown and Pittsburgh Steelers conversation. Jack, what's up, man?
Not much. Yeah, you know what? You touched on one of the big points I wanted to make. And for me, I'm kind of with you that it's probably a little hyperbolic, a little bit too early to say that Mike Tomlin's lost his locker room. But my opinion of Mike Tomlin in terms of as a disciplinarian has kind of gone down the last couple of years, just because you touched on Antonio Brown live streaming their meeting right after their game in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And do you remember leading up to their playoff game last year against the Jaguars, Mike Mitchell the week of the game, the cornerback for the Steelers, talking about how they were already looking ahead to the Patriots a week and a half later because they'd lost to them earlier in the season and they weren't even worried about the Jaguars. Right. And they wound up losing to the Jaguars that Sunday. So for me, you know, I mean, those were back-to-back years where the Pittsburgh Steelers were eliminated from the playoffs and they provided their opponent with major bulletin board material going into the game. And, you know, this just kind of piggybacks on, in my mind, I mean, Mike Tomlin is a fantastic head coach, but as a disciplinarian the last few years, my opinion of him is not what it used to be.
Yeah, I think it's changed a bit. There's no doubt about that. When you look at a story like this, I don't know how you can have, how you can argue the opposite. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with the one, the only, Richard Kincaid. We'll talk some Detroit Tigers with him as all. Also, get his thoughts on the Michigan State and Indiana night game coming this Saturday. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. What's up, Jack? WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just finished up a chat when it comes to this whole Josh Gordon and New England Patriots story. Seems to be official now that Josh Gordon is a part of the Patriots roster. We'll see how much use he gets against your Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football, NBC, against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots team that is coming off a loss. I think that spells bad news for the Honolulu Blue. And also Antonio Brown, that whole situation of Antonio Brown not showing up to work, not showing up to a team meeting earlier this week. He was caught on camera arguing with the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive coordinator. A lot of drama surrounded around. Also, the 0-2 Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, they do have a tie, so... It's just winless right now.
Yeah, they're just winless.
Yeah, because I forget about the tie, right? Which makes no sense to me. This is not soccer. The NFL has to figure out how to fix this whole tie situation. I never thought I'd see back-to-back weeks that the National Football League would have ties. That's a problem. That's a problem. Even if you have to adopt, you know, the college football model.
That's what I was saying.
Line them up.
I would love that.
In the red zone and just go at it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I just don't understand that. How does it even work? You know, if it is really close in that division with the Steelers, I mean, how is that tie scored? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do the rankings with the tie. Especially when you have, like, isn't there four teams now that have a tie on their record? Because there were two ties,
yeah,
correct?
Exactly. You got, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns, and then you had the Minnesota Vikings and
the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, four teams right now have a tie in the NFL. I just don't get that. These games, I mean, this is the NFL regular season. You know, you got 16 weeks, a lot on the line here, big money organization. The NFL makes professional sports go round. You can't have ties. This is not soccer. This is not soccer. That's what irks me about soccer. Please forgive me, all you soccer fans out there, but that's one thing I just can't stand about soccer. That's why I can't get jiggy with soccer.
I mean, the NHL had that, like, around 2005. They had the tie system in there, but, like, around 2006 was when they introduced the shootout. And not only is that, like, more exciting for the fans, but it's also a better way of scoring the points system that's used in the NHL.
Right. And even with, you know, in soccer, you know, even if it is tied, they do go to a shootout. But I think it's still, which is so confusing, they still put it on the record as a tie. But I guess the shootout acts as a tiebreaker later on in the season if there is kind of, you know, if it's a close race in that division or conference. So, yeah, can't have ties in the National Football League. All right, what are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We have a score update when it comes to the Detroit Tigers and the Minnesota Twins. And, oh, by golly. Riddle me this. The Detroit Tigers are losing in the top of the second right now against the Minnesota Twins 2-0. The Detroit Tigers 61-90 on the year, 36-40 at home, we all knew this was not going to be a great year for the Tigers. We all knew that the Detroit Tigers would be in rebuild mode. We did not expect much from this team. And even with that being said, how about this? The Detroit Tigers, and it just shows you how bad the American League Central is. The Tigers are still in third place ahead of the Chicago White Sox and the Kansas City Royals in that division. Just ugly baseball. To talk about this ugly baseball and so much more, we have Richard Kincaid, our dear friend, joining us via phone to put in perspective as the days dwindle down here and we get closer to the MLB playoffs, which the Tigers will not be a part of. To put this year in perspective, Richard Kincaid now joins us via phone. Rich, how you doing, my man?
Oh, I just harken back to when I was on the air with you, which, by the way, is always a pleasurable experience. But it was
thank
right
you,
on
Rich.
Opening day. I think it was the day before opening day, and we were talking about the Tigers. And I was hoping against hope that the team was not going to be a 100-loss team.
Right.
And they likely will not be.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to lose. I think if they win two more games, and they got a dozen remaining, including today, something like that. At any rate, maybe it's 11 remaining. If they just win two more games, they won't lose 100. They'd lose 99, you know. And this is what it's come down to in the last 2 weeks, hoping that they can get a couple of victories, scrap a couple out against the Kansas City Royals or come back against the Twins today, whatever, and avoid a 100-loss season. But, you know, the thing of it is, Al,
mm-hmm.
I go back just about 3 months ago, June 17th, all right? It was this Sunday. Tigers were in Chicago. They beat the White Sox to complete a series sweep, and they were 36-37. That's almost halfway through the season, right? That's 73 games.
Right.
36-37. They were 2.5 games out of first. And since that, and then they went to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati was awful. They were already a couple of dozen games under 500, and, you know, you're thinking, geez, they can win a couple in Cincy and head on down to a big series in Cleveland and maybe make some noise. And that's when they just lost every game they played for 2 weeks. And since they were 36-37, they've gone 25-53, which is a winning percentage of 321. And if you play 321 ball all year, you lose 110. So you just go back to mid-June there where they were going good, and then all of a sudden they weren't, and they haven't gotten any better. And it's been sad. It's been depressing. They can't pitch. They can't do anything.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Sad.
And with that being said, Rich, you know, I've still heard, you know, talk about Ron Gardenhier and the job that he's done here in year one. I tell you what, Ron Gardenhier has it pretty good right now because of this. Rich, we expected this Detroit Tigers team to be bad this year. And with that expectation, it kind of, you know, put some weight off of the shoulders for Ron Gardenhier to come in year one and pull off some kind of miracle season. We all knew that the Detroit Tigers are in rebuild mode, and this season was going to be ugly, so to speak. So with that being said, how would you grade Ron Gardenhier's tenure here?
I don't really know that you can. Because he was not expected to win. This is an extremely unusual. Well, you know what? You'd say extremely unusual, but it's not. There are teams out there, and I fear the Tigers are slipping into that group that are not that interested in winning baseball games. And I'd throw into that group that are more interested in the bottom line than they are in winning games. Okay, and I put the Miami Marlins in that group, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, likely. Teams like that who say, well, we're rebuilding, you know, give us another 3 or 4 or 5 years. And the Tigers, by just saying, they began the year by saying, hey, we're not going to contend. We know we're not going to contend. So how can Ron Gardenhier lose?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Even when the team loses, you know, in the 90s, as they, well, they've already made it to 90, you know, nobody, he's not on the hot seat. You know, they know they're not very good. What potentially bothers me is the way that the organization handles this, okay? It's still, it grinds me a little bit. You know, Justin Verlander is doing pretty good down there in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Right.
Didi Martinez, is he having an okay year for the Boston Red Sox? Yeah, I think he is. He's still contending for the Triple Crown, as a matter of fact. And you can look at, you know, there are 8 or 10 guys scattered around the major leagues that were once Tigers, and you're thinking if they're still here, this team would have a legitimate shot at being a World Series contender. But Alex Avila said back in the spring, we've been living beyond our means, and we've got to cut back. And the only way to do that is to dump salary, and that's what they've been doing. My question is, how do you get back to that level without players of that caliber? And frankly, I don't see that many guys coming up through the minor leagues who I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the first overall draft choice, Casey Mize, pans out. But, you know, next year is probably too soon for him, so we won't begin to get an answer on that until 2020. To me, it's asking a lot to just say, hey, we're just going to dump this season and probably the next season and probably the season after. That's a lot to ask.
It is,
But that's the way things are right now. But until I'm confident that this organization, which is no longer Mike Ilitch's organization, remember,
right?
Until I see that they're going to make a commitment to talent and talent costs, I'm going to be concerned. I'm going to be worried. I'm going to be upset.
So you think?
Other than that, though, I'm great.
And I tell you what. So, Rich, with that being said, you think this thing will probably take at least 3 years for a rebuild?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Sure. You know, at least the Houston Astros said they were honest about it. They said, "Give us 5 years." But then you saw over the course of the you started seeing right away young, talented players, you know, on the field, learning on the job, as it were. But you know, you look at that lineup now and all those kids that they brought up through their system, and then they augmented by bringing in a Justin Verlander, you know, late in the season last year, which is probably why they won the World Series. The way he pitched was just done. It was unbelievable last year, but I just don't see that level of talent in the Detroit system. Maybe I'm wrong, but boy, they've got guys out there that I just don't see the upside turning them into the caliber of players that the Houston Astros are able to field. So I've got concerns. Yeah.
And Rich, it was reported about, you know, 17 hours ago that Michael Fulmer is done for the season with a torn meniscus. And, you know, there's been rumors out there that the Tigers could use Michael Fulmer as trade bait to bring in that young talent that you talked about that you need if you are going to have a successful rebuild. What kind of...
But, Al, isn't Michael Fulmer the young talent that you want to build with?
Thank you.
I mean, I think that's my issue there.
That's my issue, too. I mean, if you got a player like Michael Fulmer who is so talented, so young, I mean, why would you want to use him as trade bait? I never understood that conversation either. Yeah.
If you're gonna build through the system and through the draft, I mean, this is the guy you're talking about.
Right.
So no, I keep reading these things about them, you know, just as you said, using them as trade bait. I just don't understand it at all. But everything has just turned into, it's just been so disappointing. You know, for much of the summer we were able to say at least they didn't tank like last year's team did. I mean, you remember last year, I mean, the second half of the season, they were no fun to watch at all. And I agree with that, but boy, we got into August here and the losing just piled up and piled up, and there was, you know, it began to not be fun to watch the Tigers anymore, and we've arrived at that point now. Although there's one guy I'm cheering for. This the kid that made his major league debut Saturday, Matthew Hall. He made his major league debut, pitched one inning, gave up 8 runs, 6 earned on 9 hits, something like that. Everything went wrong. He gave up a single, then the next two batters reached on an error and the downward slide. I met his mom at a Mud Hens game. I went to a Mud Hens game in July.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the last row of the concourse, and she was nearby, and I was with a group of friends, and I was, you know, well, I guess talking loudly, you know, explaining the game of baseball to my buddies. And she overheard me, came up, and we started talking. It turns out it was Matthew Hall's mom.
Wow.
And at that point, I began to, like, I checked the Toledo stats to see how he's doing, you know, and he turned out he had a terrific year. His ERA with Toledo was something like 2.12. He'd only been called up 2 weeks earlier from Erie at the time that I met his mom, so I was really... You know, like, that was the one thing I was looking for, you know, because he wasn't even on the 40-man. I didn't expect he's going to be called up. But he was named the Tigers organization, minor league pitcher of the year, got called up, and there he goes, gets in the game on Saturday after, you know, Fulmer had to leave. And, you know, two batters into the game. He didn't get rocked. It's just he gave up, you know, like 7 singles and a double, and just couldn't get the guys out. So I'm kind of pulling for him because I met his mom and they seem really nice.
Well, there you go, a personal connection here, right? And again, it's his first outing. We'll see how he progresses.
Right.
You know, we'll see how he progresses here. And Rich, real quick, you know, as we have about 4 minutes left, I want to get, you know, just your brief thoughts on the Michigan State and Indiana matchup on Saturday night. Michigan State coming off that week 3 bye, trying to, you know, put the wheels back on the track after the loss on the West Coast to Arizona State. How do you see this matchup playing out on Saturday?
Oh, I think State will win, but these games always worry me. You know, just about any road game in the Big Ten worries you now. You remember they had a really hard time beating Indiana at home last year.
Yeah, they did.
They were trailing the Hoosiers, right, with 7 minutes to go.
Right.
You know, so it was a little... pardon me, a little shaky. And then the year before that, the last trip into Indiana, they wound up losing in overtime. So I'm always concerned about that. But I guess I'll have to come Saturday. I'm still trying to get over the Arizona State loss a little bit because I just didn't understand that there was no penalty when the punter gets buried like he did there in the fourth quarter. Why was that not a dead ball foul?
I don't get that either. And D'Antonio submitted that play to, of course, the Big Ten office, and he said he got an explanation, and he declined to go into his thoughts on that explanation during that press conference last week.
But I thought that definitely was the turning point in that football game because I just didn't understand it all. Yeah, I understand you blew the whistle, but nevertheless, a foul was committed. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't understand the line. You know what really bothered me about that Arizona State game was when I read the game notes a week before, the Monday before the game, and right at the top it said Arizona all-time against the Big Ten at Sun Devil Stadium is 9-0.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, huh, you know, there's got to be some reason for that. Mm-hmm. And we saw what it was. I mean, you kick off, it was over 110 degrees. I like D'Antonio said after the game, of course, well, the heat wasn't a factor. And as my wife said, did he play?
That's a good point. That's a good point from the wifey there, Rich.
Those
conditions are
around as a guest,
right? Maybe I'll make that booking tomorrow, Rich. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean,
that's perfect.
Yeah, the 3-hour time difference in that kind of weather, 9-0. Right. So, do you real quick with 30 seconds left here, Rich? Do you think Michigan State wins this Saturday?
Oh yes, I do. Yes, I do. I think, you know, superior talent typically wins out, but it's just always, it's one of these games, it's kind of the back of your mind, bothers you a little bit. They used to bother me a lot more before Mark D'Antonio was coach of the Spartans. You know, it seemed they'd always go out on the road to a place like Indiana or Purdue where they should win with ease, and they wouldn't. That happens so much less frequently now that Mark D'Antonio is on the sideline. So I think ultimately Michigan State will come out of this thing with a victory, and I think they actually will be in pretty good shape when the Big Ten season starts in a couple of weeks.
My man, Rich Kincaid.
The Big Ten season starts Saturday.
Yes, Saturday.
Once they get past Central, and then the rest of it's Big Ten schedule. I think they'll be in good shape once that begins, once we get to October.
Rich, outstanding job. Thank you so much for joining me on this this Wednesday afternoon, my friend. Have a good day.
You too, Al. Thanks very much.
Rich Kincaid, always bringing the heat, one of my favorite guests. All right, with 30 seconds left, got to remind you all that the WKAR Fall Fundraiser taking place right now. If you love what we do here at WKAR, please support. We can't do what we do without you. Go to WKAR.org to give now. Click the Give Now button, really simple there, or call 855-724-9344. We'll see you tomorrow, folks, and be easy, people.